The homily this evening is a Curtis paraphrase of one of the Anglican homilies that was written during the English Reformation. During the English Reformation, there were a lot of clergy who really, many of them didn't even know how to read at first, and they just had like the liturgy memorized, but they couldn't read the Bible or expound the Bible or teach good doctrine, and so of course, they had to teach them how to read, but then they also just put words in their mouths. They wrote a bunch of sermons and said, okay, if you can't preach, just read this on Sunday, and here's the schedule. And one of those sermons during the later part of the Reformation is called An Homily on Good Works and a First of Fasting. And so this is my summary slash interaction with our text that we have read tonight. The big idea is that, the question that I'm seeking to ask is, why do Christians fast? And like, what is the purpose? What is our desired outcome of fasting? And how does fasting, how does Lent really relate to the gospel? Are we clear on what we are doing when we're fasting or when we're taking up almsgiving or when we're adding new devotional practices or those sorts of things? That's not a meritorious thing. We're not seeking to earn something before God, but actually we're letting God's grace flow through us. And this is an expression of our faith in him. So let's begin with that part. So the homily actually begins there. It says, it quotes from Ephesians chapter 2, just one of the most clear passages in the Bible that gets the order of grace and works, or faith and works, in the right order. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So you're not saved by your works, but then Paul goes on to say in verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are not saved by our prayers or saved by our almsgiving or saved by our devotional practices or saved by our good works, but all of those things are the fruit of being saved. They are the fruit of the grace which God has extended to us in Christ Jesus. One great analogy that St. Augustine used, he said, a wheel doesn't roll in order to become round. It rolls because it is round. And that's how grace and works are. We have already received grace, and that issues forth in good works. It's not the other way around. The good works will never make us holy, but because we have become holy through Christ, we are living and doing good works, including prayers and almsgiving and fasting. So Lent is not a time of cramming for the test that is Easter, trying to get as many, you know, gold stars between now and then as we can, but a time to take a moment and step back and ask the question, if I am God's workmanship, if I have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, am I living my life that way? Or do I need to take this season of Lent and reorient, realign some things, and maybe get with God and discover what it means for me to live as God's workmanship. Am I loving God with my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? Or are other things dictating the course of my life and the intentions of my heart? So works and fasting, including and prayers and almsgiving and all those things, are brought forth from grace. It's clear. It's really, really important that we get that clear. Now, why do we then fast? Why do any of these sort of spiritual disciplines if we've been saved by grace through faith and not by works? Well, one thing that's really captured my mind as I've been thinking about Lent and preparing for Lent is the role of fasting in disciplining the body. I was talking with my kids the other night at the dinner table, my little guys especially, my 6-year-old, 8-year-old, and 11-year-old, and I was like, when you think about your days, is your body in charge or is your mind in charge most of the time? And of course, they were like, I'm 6, 8, and 11. What are you talking about? But then I said, okay, so imagine, do you know how sometimes you eat a lot of food and your tummy's full, but there's something in you that wants to keep eating? And they're like, yeah. Or like something that looks really good, even though you're full, you're like, yeah, I'll eat another cupcake or I'll eat another cookie, something like that. Or sometimes you're laying in your bed and it's morning, it's time to get up, but you're so cozy. Feels so good to be there that your body just says, don't get up, stay here, right? And neither of those things is sinful, but they're just examples of how a lot of times our body is actually dictating to us how we're going to live our life. Our body is constantly crying out to us, I need food, I need rest, I need comfort, I need distraction, I need entertainment, right? And Lent is an opportunity to take a step back, to put some of those things at arm's length, to fast from them, in order to get the mind back in control of the body. Now I'm saying this, I'm one day in, and my body's already like, fasting is terrible, stop doing it, right? I've missed one meal, guys, and my body is already rebelling against this intention. So it's going to be a fight, but it's a fight worth doing in order to put the body back in its place. It's not that the body's bad, but that the body has a lot of needs. It's designed to keep you alive, and so it wants more calories, and it wants more rest, and it wants more comfort and these sorts of things. But we need to remember, our minds are to be set on heavenly things, not on earthly things, and Lent is a great time to take a step back and try to get things in the right order and to discipline the body. And you see that, really, I think, if you think about 2 Corinthians and all the things that Paul is going through there in verses 4 through 10, it's not like life is just happening to Paul and he's just along for the ride. I mean, imagine the first time he got 39 lashes minus one. Don't you think his body was like, all right, I think this is enough of this apostleship thing, right? Or the first time he was snake bitten or stoned or shipwrecked or sleepless or betrayed by his close friends in ministry. I mean, how many times over the course of Paul's life must he have resisted the body's desire to give up and give in? He actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I chastise or I discipline my body in order to make it a slave, lest by any means it comes to pass that when I have preached to others, I might then myself be found a castaway. In other words, I'm constantly disciplining my body, not just for preaching, not just for church planting, but so that I stay in the faith, because my body will pursue worldly desires. And so this is one of the reasons that we fast, to discipline the body. The second reason, you could hear it in our Lord Jesus' words there in Matthew chapter 6, is that we, through fasting, it allows us to be more earnest, more sincere in our prayers. I was thinking about this on the drive over, how often my prayers slide into me giving God advice. I don't know if you're ever like that. You have some problem and you go, God, you know how you could fix that? If you just did this, you'd tie it up in a nice little bow. But this earnestness or this sincerity, or just the way Jesus talks about it, you are supposed to be praying or fasting or almsgiving with an audience of one. Right, you are thinking about what God is thinking about when he sees you or when he hears your prayers. You're actually sincerely seeking not to get what you want, but to hear what he wants in your prayers. If you do that, Jesus says, your Father in secret will reward you. So we don't fast in order to perform, but we also don't, and we don't fast and pray just out of rhythm and repetition, although when you don't know what to do, a rhythm and repetition of prayer is really good. But Lent, again, is a time to say, are all my prayers just rhythms and repetitions? Are all my prayers just me telling God how great it would be if he answered them? Or am I seeking God's face and saying, God, what should I be praying for? What should I be desiring? In this crisis that's in my life or this suffering that I'm going through, what should I be looking for in terms of how you're working in my life, not just in terms of what I would like to see happen in terms of comfort and security and those sorts of things. So the second reason that we fast or that we take on almsgiving or other special devotions is because we want to be earnest about seeking God, being sincere with God, and not just like the children of Israel in that Isaiah passage where they're using God, right? They fast because they think if they fast, they can like do whatever they want the rest of the time. That's not what we're doing. We want to be earnest, sincere, and fervent in prayer. And then the third reason. You see this, it's connected with Psalm 103. The third reason that we fast is where we began with that informal welcome that I did. We fast because that's a fitting, symbolic way of admitting our need of God's forgiveness. It's a symbolic way of leaning into humility, of confessing our sins. That we need God's forgiveness. In this season of Lent, our bodies will try to convince us to follow worldly pursuits. And some of those aren't sinful, but they aren't the things that are heavenly. And so we are consistently caught up in this We consistently fall into this, and we need God's forgiveness. We need to confess our sins and be assured that, he forgives them through Christ. The homily that I was referring to earlier, it says the third, that our fast be a testimony and witness with us before God of our humble submission to his majesty, that when we confess and acknowledge our sins unto him, we are inwardly touched with sorrowfulness of heart, bewailing the same in the affliction of our bodies. The analogy that they use in that homily is when King David, after his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, when he is on his face before God, begging that God would not take the child from that union. That's the type of humility and fasting and confession that Lent gives us the opportunity to do. Because Paul says, Romans 6:23, right? Many people probably know this. The wages of sin is death. There's death living in here still. And unless I keep killing death, death will kill me, right? And so Lent is an opportunity to get with God, to pray, to fast, to take on almsgiving, whatever your devotional practices are. And we do all of this with confidence. It's not self-flagellation. We do it with confidence. Psalm 103, verse 3 and 4, that God forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. And he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. So as you enter into Lent, remember that image of the wheel. The wheel rolls because it's round, not in order to become round. You do good works because God has poured out his grace on you, and whatever those good works look like in the season of Lent. And whether you're fasting or praying or whatever that might be, I wonder if you might just take some time to think about disciplining your body and being earnest with God, and most of all, confessing your sins in hope, because God is the one who will raise us again on the last day for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us this Lent, as we said in the opening words, to observe a holy Lent. Not somberness and sadness for its own sake, but humility before you. True contrition for all of our sins, and a fervent desire to more fully walk as your disciples and to discipline our bodies, which cry out for so many things. So Lord, help us, empower us by your word, by your grace, by your holy sacraments, that we would have a holy Lent, and that when we come to the Paschal feast on Easter Sunday, we would really be walking in the newness of life which you have already given us in Christ Jesus. And we pray for this all in his name. Amen.